Live and local with Monica Jay on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. This segment is brought to you by HireMeNevada.com.
Doesn't that sound good? Hire Me Nevada. It's a great place to work, and it is a beautiful day to be out working. Seeing a lot more construction going on through this time, and that's good. Weather's nice. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being with me today. 994-884-9910. 884-9910. If you'd like to get on the show today and discuss whatever you would like to go and talk about. But I would like to talk a little bit about the city of Reno and the special assessment district that they're planning to do road work. All the wards will be paying in for this. So basically, if you are a resident of the city of Reno, guess what? Your tax dollars at work. But I would like to ask you to log on to 991fmtalk.com. We got into this a little bit yesterday as we were rehashing the Democrat caucus. So many people early voted, did it early. And I really do appreciate that. I mean, I know it opens up the way for fraud, but if I can just get it done when I'm out and about and not have to worry about one specific day, I'm good with that. Now, same day voter registration and voting, that's a whole different thing. That's ridiculous. That's just going to be fraught with fraud. But today's poll question is, do you think Nevada should switch from being a caucus state to a primary state for presidential? I mean, seriously, the way that it is going now, it isn't this, you know, oh, we have to wait for 3 years or 2.5 years to see who's even going to, you know, vie for president. It seems like elections start as soon as one election is over. People are frustrated. They don't like the way it turned out. So they just start campaigning and complaining the day after. So what do you think? Do you think we have all the information that we're going to need to select a presidential candidate by then? I mean, on the Democrat side, all of the candidates had been here. I mean, for the most part. People traveling, getting it in. What do you think? Log on. 991fmtalk.com. Personally, again, this is just personally. And I know that there's some reason that they do the caucus. Not 100% sure what it is. But I would just prefer to primary. Just take my vote. I mean, I know you need to get the information for people who are going to go to the conventions and stuff like that, but does it change that much for the people who actually go and caucus? Are you cutting out a certain number of people that just don't know enough about how it's done and what you're doing that they don't find it important? But if you do want to hear their voice, just primary. Because who is really going to... Sorry, my husband installed a cough button, so I'm not just pausing. The people who go to the conventions, who become delegates, are they new? Do they know the process? Is there another way for them to get involved? You know, it's like just going to, say you just go to your party headquarters and you say, I live in this area. Are all the delegates' positions taken? I'd like to be a delegate for the convention. Okay. That's one way of doing it. Just going directly to party headquarters and signing up. Checking out your voter status and, you know, you can just log on to the Registrar of Voters and say, oh, okay. Yeah, you're a Republican. You can, you know, sign up to be on the Central Committee. I hate to say that we need to make it easier for people, because that's when you get into trouble. You make it too easy. And then it's easy for bad people to do the wrong things. I mean, this is a privilege to vote. It's a privilege. I think the numbers that came in for the Democrats, at least, because the Republicans did not caucus, they just had their precinct meetings. We have an incumbent president that, yeah, there's still some never Trumpers out there, so get over it. The majority of people and the majority of Nevadans go for Trump. At least Republican Nevadans. Because if we make it too easy, then it doesn't feel like that privilege anymore. I mean, you're taking part in something that other countries know nothing about. They don't have the republic like we do to be able to vote for the people who are helping shape the country. And they'll never know what it's like. So teach the kids. If anything is brought back in the next legislative session, I really, really hope that Assemblyman Wheeler brings back his bill to get all of the schools, you know, the districts, having a mandatory class that teaches the Constitution, that teaches the Bill of Rights, that teaches the Federalist Papers. I mean, this should be a year-long, two-semester class. And it should be separate from history. It should be a class upon itself. So that's my hope. Because you know, if the Democrats stay in control and we don't get Sisolak recalled, what you're going to see come out in the legislature is the sanctuary state. Because when he had to shelve that, and he did shelve it, there was no killing of it. It was just shelved. Went down and turned Las Vegas into a sanctuary city. That was probably to appease the people who put so much money into his campaign. I don't know. I'm just throwing out theories here. Don't hold me to it. But when you have people putting money into your campaign, you know, wanting this stuff, coming back and saying, hey, what'd you do? Let's wait till the next session. We're going to start it off. We already got Reno as a welcoming city. We'll make Las Vegas a sanctuary city. Just blatantly going against laws and cooperation. Going against keeping this country safe. Just sickening. So my mind wandered there for a minute because I think of everything this state was, and I think of everything this state can be. And then I start thinking about what the Democrats have done. Not just Sisolak, the Democrats. And it is an eye-opening experience. I hope so, you know, I hope more so for the younger generation who's coming through now, who sees all of this craziness with the socialists. And, oh, I saw a great joke the other day. So Nancy Pelosi is talking to Bernie Sanders, and she said, what's the difference between communism, socialism, Nazism, leftism, liberalism, progressivism? And Bernie says, I don't know, what? And Nancy says, the spelling. That's what it is. Bernie's just flat out saying, you know, this is what we're going to do. This is what it's going to be like. When Obama and Clinton and all the others have tiptoed around it, they put it in a more pleasant package. But it's still all the same thing. This is a quote from H.L. Mencken. The government consists of a gang of men and women exactly. He didn't say women, but I'm expanding. Of men and women exactly like you and me. They have, taking one with another, no special talent for the business of government. They have only a talent for getting and holding office. Their principal device to that end is to search out groups who pant and pine for something they can't get and to promise to give it to them. 9 times out of 10, that promise is worth nothing. The 10th time is made good by looting A to satisfy B. In other words, government is a broker in pillage. And every election is sort of an advance auction sale of stolen goods. Wow. I like that. Think about that as we take a quick break and come back on the Monica Jay Show, 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
For Mason and Smith Valley.
Hey, where did we go? It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I'm so glad you're with me today on this gorgeous Tuesday. It's so nice outside. I don't know, is there a way I can do the show from outside? Go enjoy some of the warmth. I don't know. Let's go to the phone lines on the Monica Jay Show at 884-9910 and say hello to Mon this morning. Hi, Mon.
What's going on? How you doing?
Not much of nothing. Just trying to get this whole thing straight with the majority of Nevada for the Democrats wanting to elect a socialist. to wrap my head around it.
Well, there's a lot of that going on. You know, you said last week we pretty much live in a socialist society. You know, we talk about these socialist programs, Medicare is a socialist program. It's a single-payer government-paid system. And so what we've got is we've got single-payer socialist medicine for some people in the United States, and then the Democrats say, well, we want it for all people. Well, what's the difference between some and all? I mean, it's still socialism, right?
That means and illegals and, you know, people who don't actually pay into the system and just want to keep drawing benefits.
Yeah, well, so Medicare came into existence in 1965. So before 1965, when we didn't have Medicare, how did people get their medical care? What needs to happen is we need to abolish Medicare. And what would happen if you abolish Medicare, prices would drop dramatically, okay? When you subsidize something, you get more of it. When you tax something, you get less of it. Well, we subsidize the demand for medical services with taxpayer dollars, so what you end up is with higher prices. If you want to have lower prices, what you have to do is you have to take away the subsidies. But people don't get that, because the average person would say, well, how am I going to get Medicare? Or how am I going to get medical services if I don't have Medicare? Well, number one, how did you get medical services before you had Medicare? So from 1887, when the country was founded, to 1965, we didn't have Medicare. How did people between 1787, when the country was founded, to 1965, how did they get medical care? They got it in the free market, and prices were substantially lower during that period of time. The explosion in medical costs can be traced directly to the implementation of Medicare. When Medicare was implemented in 1965, you can go back and look on the price graphs. From there on, prices exploded. Okay, so if you want prices to go down, you get rid of the subsidies, you abolish Medicare, people would be able to get, the market would adjust to the demand for medical services. People would come out of the woods offering their services, because they wouldn't have all this government regulation that is causing the prices to drop, to go sky high, and you would have people would come in with lower prices. People would come out of the woodwork offering medical services. The people that left the system because of Obamacare would come back into the system because they would have a freer system and a better opportunity to make profit because of the lower prices. And, you know, but people need to get out of the mentality that the government needs to take care of them from cradle to grave, because what is taught in the government schools, i.e. the Marxist training, neighborhood Marxist training center, every neighborhood has one, is that the government, what they are teaching your children today at the local neighborhood Marxist training center, is that the government is supposed to take care of you from cradle to grave, and the government can tax and spend its way to prosperity. So anyway, that's what the problem is.
Well, and the other thing with that, Mon, is the insurance companies getting involved, where doctors can't be doctors anymore. Doctors get into the business of helping and saving people. And now everything is run by the outside, who wants more money, more money. And even judges get involved, because they say, oh, well, we have to have, you know, the insurance and everything for the medical malpractice, and that has to be covered. And it's like, well, that's because the judges allow people to go in and sue, because we're such a litigious society that you do one tiny thing and they get millions upon millions of dollars. It is it's just such a vicious circle of everything that's attached together. Mon, thank you so much for calling in and giving the history there of Medicare. And we can do so much better. We just have to pay attention to what these elected representatives are doing. You know, they have and the unions. Every union out there, people need to know that they will still be secure and taken care of if they get out of their unions. Okay, especially the teachers. What I want to see is a program for teachers that you can meet with a mediator that is non-biased, has nothing to do with any school or district, and you can say anything. You can voice your concerns. You can point things out and not have any retribution. And I want to see that for law enforcement, and I want to see that for firefighters. There are so many things wrong with our systems, but people are just so afraid of the climbers. You know, those people that go into an industry or, yeah, let's just leave it at industry. And they just keep climbing the ladder, climbing the ladder. And the people who are doing the work, the people who love the work, what do they usually say? Eh, I'm happy here. I don't like playing the politics. Every business out there all has politics in it now. And once somebody gets to be one of those higher-ups, that little bit of power corrupts. You know how you know? Look at the way that people directing traffic at special events, how when you challenge one of those, you know, they said, no, go straight, and you challenge them, and their chests puff up, and it's like, no, I told you to go this direction, you need to go that direction, and you know where you're supposed to be. And it's someplace completely different. I just liken that to every single industry we have now. And we need to change it. And we need to change it fast because it is dragging us down. And it's dragging us down just for the worst that we bring out in people. We'll be back after this Fox News update, getting lots of emails at Monica@991fmtalk.com. And we'll be back with your email, hopefully, right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Get more Monica in your life. Go to 991fmtalk.com. Click on the podcast tab.
It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. 884-9910. And just so you know, I had a listener call in yesterday. Has a business. Told producer Craig, get her down here tomorrow. And I will cure that. I have no idea if he's going to be able to, but I'm going to go check it out this afternoon. Listener nice enough to call and not want to be mentioned on the air, just wants to help me, then I'm going to take advantage of that and go see what we can do. I've already had to turn down, I do regular commercials for businesses, and I already had to call some people up and say, I'm sorry, I can't record this week. Supposed to be working on a book about Tesla. Can't do that right now. But I am not going to give up my time with you. I'm sorry. You just have to put up with me. I can't help it. I need my time with you because I want to be able to share things with you that you're not going to hear on the mainstream media. Like lawmakers are trying to repeal a ridicule law. Did you know that there's a ridicule law out there? This law actually got two students arrested for a racial slur. No, this is not right. You cannot ban words and keep people from saying things just because you're offended. You know, I've had many, many a slurs, many a bad names thrown at me. I don't care. They're just names. They're just words. And I know words hurt. And emotional abuse is just as important as physical abuse. But you should not be arrested for things like this. This actually happened at the University of Connecticut. How did something like this go through? You know, I get the law. I always call it the Seinfeld law. You know, when you're standing there and you see a crime being committed, and you don't do anything. What do they call that? The Good Samaritan Law or something? But you know what? Sometimes people don't feel as though they can help a person. You should also not be punished for a racial slur. I have to admit it. I was watching Comedy Central the other night. I try not to because all of their shows disgust me. They're trash. All they do is trash the president 24/7. But I love the roasts. They're not like the good old days of the Dean Martin roasts. My parents would always let me stay up late and watch those, and I still watch them on YouTube now. You can go get the old ones. Dean Martin and, oh gosh, all the greats. Don Rickles, when they roasted Frank Sinatra. Because those were people that were a little, you know, when I was young, I considered them old. But still, there was just a fascination with those roasts. Maybe that's why I don't take things that people say seriously. And they don't matter to me. But they were roasting. And I enjoy them so much. I've got a couple of them on DVD, William Shatner. I loved it when they roasted him. But they were roasting Justin Bieber, which if I wanted to see anybody picked on, it was Justin Bieber. And Snoop Dogg was on there. And the host of the show was Kevin Hart. And I adore Kevin Hart. But when the two of them can get on there and use the N-word that we're not allowed to use, and they can just say it over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and over. Doesn't that just seem odd to you? That some people can use a word, but others can't? And maybe even get thrown into jail for it? I mean, seriously, don't you think that is odd? Talk about free speech. It is better to teach people to be respectful, to teach people that, I mean, hate is taught. You see kids playing together, and kids want to play with everybody. Kids don't see deformities. They don't see disabilities. They don't see color. It's only until they start getting older that they're taught. Well, maybe we should start teaching that it's okay. And just to be respectful and not say things like that. And that goes for all communities. Because how can you say that this is a racial slur when you have popular music using it on a daily basis, coming up with more offensive music, coming up with more degrading music? And then people just come forward and say, oh, it's my culture. No, that's a load of BS. If I didn't know I would be fined, I'd actually say the words. I mean, that is BS. Culture has nothing to do with being offensive. I hope that they are actually able to do this. This happened at the University of Connecticut. Now, the incident happened just in October. But it's taken this long because guess what? Everybody's got a cell phone. Everybody's got a camera. And it was videoed. And it went viral. I mean, you can have codes of conduct at school and things like that, but if you're going to do that, then make it applicable to everybody. And let everybody have a say in what words are going to be banned. Because I could come up with a few. Because if anybody should have their speech stifled, well, you know what? I can't even say that because I don't think people should have their speech stifled. Unless they're lying. Unless they're spreading false truths. Their narratives, their spins, like the Democrats. I mean, wasn't it totally justified and just incredible that all the big media giants got called on the carpet from the intelligence department? We didn't say that. We didn't say it was that bad. We were just letting people know that, you know, Russia's doing stuff again. They're not doing stuff just for Trump. They're just meddling. You know, they're looking at Bernie. They're looking at all the candidates. They just meddle. But the mainstream media turned it into a total circus last week that once again, Trump is Putin's best friend and a Russian operative. When do we start holding the media accountable? The only people that can hold the media accountable is you. You need to start switching. You need to start turning off. You need to start looking elsewhere. Whatever you need to do to find the truth. To find accurate, credible information. And that sucks because you have government representatives putting that information out. You have leaks. You have media picking it up. You have, you know, the people that are supposed to be protecting you working on their private agenda, even in law enforcement. So where are you supposed to turn? Who are you supposed to trust? You can't just turn it off altogether. You have to pay attention and you have to listen to what people aren't saying as well as what they are saying. They walk a thin line, especially Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Adam Schiff, I think he's fallen off of that line. Somebody needs to hold him accountable. But not only are lawmakers pushing to repeal this ridiculous law, the free speech law, Something else you probably didn't hear is Trump is taking a stand and helping the mentally ill. Finally. Finally, someone is recognizing one of the root causes of a lot of the problems that we've got going on right now. I mean, think about it. If the mentally ill, and I agree, it was a Republican that started all of this. I love Reagan. But it wasn't just Reagan. It was people coming forward who pressured him into shutting down and getting rid of mental health facilities where people could just be housed for their protection and for the protection of the communities that they live in. Things happen. Not everybody is born perfect. But families don't know how to deal with that. Society doesn't know how to deal with that. There's psychoses out there that even psychologists, even therapists can't deal with or know how to deal with. We put so many things into our bodies with plastic and drugs, and you don't know what's going to happen to your brain. We only use 10% of it, so imagine if someone's using a lot less, or if they're using different pieces of it we don't know about. Science is an incredible thing, but it's not a sure thing for everybody. Talk more about that when we come back after this quick break on The Monica Jay Show. 884-9910. Trust me, I know mental illness. It's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I'm so glad you're here. Log on to our poll question today at 991fmtalk.com. Should we just have a primary instead of caucuses early for the presidential election? Log on. 77% so far say yes. Everybody has their reasons and everybody wants their votes. So did you see the, non-story for mainstream media on the visit to India from the president and first lady? That was amazing. They, of course, didn't want to show the stadium, largest cricket stadium, I think, in the world, there in India. Totally packed. Some like 100,000 people. Maybe that number's off. I don't know. All to celebrate America. Why? Because Trump is doing so much to bring our countries together. And it was just amazing to watch. See the Taj Mahal. Just watch the people excited. People are already putting out that, you know, they're showing pictures of the stadium half empty that, and saying that people were getting up during his speech. And it's like, no, they weren't. They were replaying the speech on the big screen so people had something to do while they sat there for another hour before they could even get up and leave after the president and the minister and everybody else left. It is so frustrating to see how people twist stuff. But when you hear what was coming out of that visit, that's pretty impressive, especially with you know, how many doctors have come out of India or have come to America to become doctors and are still in this country. And the medication that comes out of India, a lot of our medication comes out of there. And the agreements. Every single day of his presidency, Trump is working to bring down costs for everybody. And he is trying to make it more available for people to get the mental health services that they truly need, that will save lives, that will take people off of the streets. Yet once again, the Democrats just criticize because they don't get to take credit for any of this. Any of his great work that he's doing for all Americans, not just Republicans. And people are so blinded with hate, they just can't see that. But we can on the Monica Jay Show.